Hi guys, today we are going live with Jared Wolf, head trainer, owner of Wolfpack Canine up in New Hampshire. And him and his Malinois Akuma are actually one of our favorite teams to follow. We absolutely love their Instagram, all their videos. It is true dog dancing. So without further ado, I'm gonna go ahead and add Jared in. And I just wanna make note that we've had the most questions. So many that I put them on index cards. Hey.
What's up?
How's it going?
Good, how you doing?
Good. Thank you for coming on tonight.
No problem.
So I just want to let you know that you've had the most questions that we've ever had. So well done. So a lot of people asked about Akuma's incredible drive. Before we get into Akuma's drive, can we talk about your drive and what motivates you?
Running the business, Wolfpack Canine, trying to achieve all the goals I have with Akuma. That's what drives me on a daily basis. So getting better as a dog trainer, getting better as a person.
Mm-hmm. And how did you get into dog training?
I got into dog training. I got a pit bull named Ty. It's about six years ago now, I believe. So I got him as a pet and didn't know much about working dog stuff. I was getting into dog training and slowly realized he had a lot of drive. He had a lot of courage. He had a lot of attributes for a working dog, and it just slowly developed into me getting into PSA. And the kennel I was at, where I worked for years, was big into PSA. The owner, his name's Steve Roberts. He's the youngest handler to ever get a PSA 3. So I just kind of got dragged into that world, and the rest is kind of history.
Mm-hmm. So with Ty, can you talk a little bit about Ty? Like, as a working dog, you don't really see many pit bulls doing the stuff that Ty would do.
Right. Yeah. So they're more like a unicorn dog. It's like one in a million pit bulls can kind of do this stuff. But he was super driven. But I made tons of mistakes with him. It was a big learning process for me. At that point in time, I was really into bite work. I wasn't as much into obedience, because it was just exciting to see him get out there and work. So once I tried to reel him back in for obedience, I had a lot of problems. I couldn't get him to do obedience around a decoy. I couldn't get any engagement. He wouldn't even look at me, basically. I was begging for his attention. So a lot of the mistakes I made with him and trying to figure out how to get him to actually engage with me around a decoy or distractions is what's led to, you know, how good Akuma's looking at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. If Ty wasn't engaging with you or didn't want to have anything to do with you, how did you get him to do the things he did?
Okay, so at that point, I had to do no bite work for several months. So he didn't do any bite work whatsoever for a 4-month span, I believe, where I didn't give him any bites. And the only fun he was going to have was with me. So it took a long time for him to even, you know, realize we're going to be doing obedience and play was going to be with me instead of the decoy. So it was a slow learning process, very frustrating, but I learned a lot from that dog.
Mm-hmm. How different is it for you training Akuma versus Ty?
They're very different breeds, their personalities. Mal's learning a lot faster rate. So it's almost, it can be difficult too with the Mal because they learn at such a fast rate that they almost get ahead of you with their pattern learning. So the pit bull is definitely the marathon as far as teaching them different things because they're so stubborn, they're selfish, they want to do things their way. But it's just a very different breed to deal with, you know.
And what do you prefer, the stubborn pit bull energy or the Mal eager to learn and do?
I like challenge of Ty. You know, he was a big challenge for me. So I was trying to show that pit bulls could actually do this stuff, and they could, you know, they could title these, we could title these dogs in a sport that's basically run by Malinois and Dutch Shepherds. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of like a chip on my shoulder when I had him at that point in time. But having the Malinois has been a lot of fun. So mm-hmm. I like them both. I'm probably going to get another pit bull at some point to do PSA with down the road.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing you in that little pitty. So, okay. I have a question from a Bougere. When are you starting your MMA career versus Logan Paul?
Oh no, I'm too old for that stuff. I don't really train anymore. When I went to John Jones, I trained with him a little bit. I pulled my hamstring throwing kicks. So that ain't happening.
So how has your experience as kickboxing influenced your experience as a dog trainer? Do the two align?
As a dog handler? There's actually just even like footwork and things like that. There's a lot of things that I took from kickboxing, and even back like when I grew up playing basketball, like footwork stuff and dog handling. Like you say, me and Akuma dance together, because there's a lot of like footwork drills I do with them to make sure we're very in sync and our cadence is on point. So the footwork stuff is huge with kickboxing and any kind of sport like that. I do feel like it crosses over to dog handling for sure.
Mm-hmm. What is the most rewarding part of dog handling for you?
The most rewarding part of dog handling is a form of therapy. You know, it's like you're just you and your dog doing your thing. Nothing else matters at that point in time. That's the most rewarding part for me, when me and him are just clicking at 100 and everything's kind of making sense at that point in time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can definitely tell in the videos. I mean, the videos are very inspirational and very fun to watch. On days where you feel like you don't really have it in you, what inspires you to get out there with Akuma?
I owe it to him to work him every day. We do something every day on a daily basis, whether it's just like a little bit of exercise or we'll play Chuck It, whatever the case is. If you own a Belgian Malinois, you owe it to that dog to get him out there and do your thing. Because mm-hmm. if anyone's ever had one that's sitting around for a little bit, it's not fun.
Yeah.
Dealing with all that energy.
Yeah. Okay. What's it like being such a badass decoy trainer person?
decoying is a lot of fun. I try and be like balanced with decoying and handling as much as I can. Mm-hmm. The first time I ever took a bite was from this dog named Fosco. And I wasn't so badass that time. At that time, I took the suit off so fast. I was like, I'm good. I don't want anything to do with this. So I sat around and watched for a while and just kind of tried to soak in some knowledge from the guys that are around me. Because if you have the mindset where you're going to just take a bite from a dog versus you're going to actually work the dog, it's kind of scary, right? So mm-hmm. a couple months later, I started learning how to decoy.
Okay. Very cool. Who and which dog has bitten you the hardest while decoying in PSA?
In PSA, in training or in trial?
Both.
The hardest biting training dogs is my dog's father, Ryu. Akuma's father, Ryu. He's owned by Jeff Riccio. He's a PSA 1. He's a PSA 1 dog. And probably Kano. Kano, who's owned by Josh Knowlton. He's a PSA 2. He's in the threes right now, but those are probably two of the hardest biting dogs I've had on me. And actually John Jones's dog bites really hard. He's up there as well. He made me go get my gauntlet, so he's a hard biting dog.
Nice. Okay, Twisted Blonde Canine. Any advice to new decoys?
New decoys, you gotta get a mentor. It's the biggest thing. Because if you get out there and think you know what you're doing, or you get ahead of yourself and you think, you know, you can build the dog, but you know what you're doing, you're gonna mess the dog up. So I still even yield to the guy I look to and go, hey, you know what we're doing with this dog? You know, which way are we headed with this? You gotta, you know, stay in your lane and just get mentored, keep getting better and better and better. Get guys around you that are really good and you're gonna soak up that knowledge.
Natalie Jacom, what do you and Akuma do in your downtime?
And our downtime, he just hangs around. He's also my pet, so he's not just kennel with all the time. He's hanging around the couch, just chilling, or on his dog bed. We go on hikes, we go on long walks, like all that kind of stuff. Lots of hiking when it's nice enough, but we got a bunch of snow on the ground right now.
Nice. Yeah, somebody also asked, does Akuma does he hang out in the kennel
No,
or
he's a
like out?
home dog. He's hanging out.
Nice. And what role does like for you as a handler, what role does affection play with him?
As far as like earned affection and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Like if
Yeah,
he's
I
a pet
mean, I
dog, yeah.
yeah, I try not to baby him too much, but it's kind of sometimes it's tough not to. You give your dogs a little bit of love. But yeah, it's still a lot of structure involved. He's on place a lot hanging out. Otherwise, he's getting this into some mischief. So, but
Okay.
he's a very affectionate dog. So if I give him too much, he'll start trying to take advantage of it. He'll start jumping on me. He'll start trying to make me pet him and things like that. So I can't give him too much. He gets a little too greedy.
Malinois things.
Yep.
Okay. Kaleidoscope 81. Do you think observation or practice is more important, effective?
Well, that kind of goes back to what I was talking about the decoy stuff. Because I took a step back for a little bit and just observed. I'm a visual learner, so I can learn things by watching. So I think it's very important to step back, kind of take a look at what you're getting into before you just, get out there and do it. That's just for me. That's how I learn personally.
How do you get Akuma to heel like that and his head position?
Reps, guys.
How?
Tons of reps. Tons of reps. The biggest mistake I'd say people probably do is they ask for too much too soon. So you gotta take it very, very slow. I mean, we did so many reps when he's a puppy over and over and over again that the head position is very crystal clear where he's supposed to be in that heel position. So, and then once pressure gets, brought into the situation, decoys and things like that, it kind of starts going downhill a little bit. So tons of reps around decoy, back to foundation type style work, It's a very slow process. Go ahead, sorry.
No, you're fine. Someone's asking, what's PSA? Google
Protection,
it.
yeah, Google it, yeah. It's Protection Sports Association. It's a working dog sport.
And when you how did you get into the PSA? I know
Like I
before.
was saying earlier, that the kennel I was at. There was a bunch of PSA trainers there.
How do you phase out the treat? How do you phase out treats when you're training?
You like lure fading? It's hard to just to explain. It's more like a feel. Do you know what I mean? You gotta have a feel for it. You gotta know where your dog's at and what he understands. Where to have the treat because there's a bunch of different phases to it. I can't explain that briefly, So just phasing, fading from the food to the toy and all those little things. It's a lot of little detailed moves you're making. So it's hard to describe without kind of showing someone in person.
Are when you are doing the videos, do you have someone else filming you?
Yeah, I do.
Always.
Whoever's
And
available.
their job. And with Akuma, were you going back and watching the videos to see how Akuma was doing or like
But
where the
my own
head
videos,
position
yeah,
was?
I watch my videos all the time. As far as like the raw, uncut videos to see what I'm doing wrong, see if he's out of position, his speed, my footwork, all that little detailed stuff. That's gonna make me a better handler. So you gotta critique yourself and go, okay, I suck. That sucked. That wasn't so clean. That was my error. That was his error. All that kind of stuff.
And with when you're looking back at the footage, what has been the biggest challenge for you with Akuma, either in obedience or with sports?
as far as, well, we've only trialed one time. We're kind of climbing the ladder right
Sorry,
now.
I think.
Do you lose me?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we're kind of climbing the ladder right now. So we've only trialed
one
time.
Cutting.
Give me 1 second. Mm-hmm. All right, can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right, good.
Okay, so what is, what's your end goal with Akuma?
What's my, wait, where am I headed?
Yes.
I want to get a PSA 3. That's the goal. It's going to take a long time, a lot of hard work to get there, but I mean, that's the end goal for me.
Mm-hmm.
Get a PSA 3, try and compete at a high level. You know.
Mm-hmm. What were some of the issues that you struggled with Akuma during your earlier training?
When he was younger, he would resource guard toys. Like he would literally turn around and try and bite me aggressively if there was a toy in front of him. So he was kind of a dick when he was younger. So one of the things I had to stop doing with him, I don't know if you're familiar with like a choke off method, choke off the toy or the sleeve. And protection work, I couldn't do much of that because it would cause a lot of conflict between the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
So I would bring food into the situation because he was very food driven and try and make him understand we're on the same side. So that was one thing I had to deal with. And it's gone away as he's got older.
Mm-hmm. Bastian Bain, roughly how long do you estimate it would take to get to PSA 3?
That's a tough question. There's only like, I think it's like 24 dogs have a PSA 3 at this point in time. So it could, this dogs that it took 10 years to get there, I believe. So it's tough. I may never get there, you know, it's one of those open-ended questions.
Mm-hmm.
He could be 8 or 9 years old by the time we get to that point. Hopefully not, but you know, it's a very, very difficult sport.
Would you be okay with that if it did take 9 or 10 years?
Yeah. I love training all the time, so
mm-hmm.
just getting out there with my training partners and whatnot, you know, it's a sense of joy. So if we never get there, I'll be happy with them. I'm not worried about that. But it's just a goal in mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay, my mutts are better. When is your PSA 1 trial date?
Not sure yet. I don't know yet.
Okay.
I might do Jersey Devil because I'm decoying that trial, but still up in there. We'll see how he's doing in training.
Mm-hmm. What is a typical day like for you?
A typical day, I go in the shop. Usually I have evals in the morning. We got camp dogs. We got board and trains we're working with. I train my staff a couple of times throughout the week. So it's pretty much nonstop all day long, just dog training all day. And I come home and do things like this.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. What made you want to get in the bite suit and become a decoy?
Well, it was kind of like a rite of passage where I used to work. I had to get bit. I had to get some hazing done, which I do with my employees now. I stick them all in the bite suit to get bit by a Akuma. But
yes.
It kind of had a martial arts feel to it. Honestly, in my opinion, it's kind of like, I call it like the dog ninja because it has this mm-hmm. martial arts kind of aspect. And I was leaving martial arts. I was kind of fading that part of my life out. And then I found decoying. So it's just another outlet for me. I like to be competitive. Mm-hmm. So that's just kind of how my personality is.
Mm-hmm. And can you kind of explain like the technical parts of being a decoy and like how that would be kind of similar to martial arts?
Just like the footwork involved, you know, you're kind of in a sparring match with the dog. It's you versus the dog. Even though when you're decoying in training, the dog's always going to win. In trial, obviously, you're trying to test the dog and run the dog off the field. So there's a lot of like you versus the dog going on. But again, in the gym and you're training with your buddies, you guys are trying to make each other better. When you go to the fight or the trial, you're trying to win. So it has a lot of similarities for me in that aspect. And there's a lot of martial arts people in general that do decoy. So I think it's across the board, a lot of guys feel like that, and girls.
When you're decoying, do you ever get scared of certain dogs?
No, not for quite a while. I mean, there's some dogs where I'm like, oh, this is going to suck, kind of. This is going to suck a little bit. So, but there's a little anxiety at trial when you're kind of, you're hanging out, waiting to come out and try and test the dog. There's definitely some anxiety there, but in training, it's all fun for me.
How hard is it on your body when you get bit by the dogs?
Honestly, I don't really bruise much anymore like I used to. My body's kind of used to that kind of aspect of it. I really don't get bruised up. And I used to get like welts all of my arms, all of my legs. My legs still bruise a little bit because PSA is more of an upper body. My arm doesn't really get affected much anymore. But the toll it takes on your shoulder and your back and things like that, your knees, yeah, you get a little banged up.
Yikes, you have to love it.
Definitely.
Okay, what helped you progress as a decoy? Twisted Blonde, okay.
Like I said before, just being around people that are better than you. Okay. Try. If you're the best guy in the room, you're not getting any better. So you gotta be around people that you're looking to. Hey, you know, am I messing this up? What can I do better in this situation? You know, even filming yourself, saying, oh, I dropped my arm too quick. That was an issue I used to have. I used to drop my arm a lot. You know, things like that. Like, I need to get better at this. So always keep improving. Never think you're like, oh, I'm at the top now. No, you got to keep getting better.
Absolutely. Okay, Obi-Wan De Niro, what's the most unique dog you have seen with a PSA besides a Pitty?
That's a nice, I like that username. What was it? Obi-Wan what?
Obi-Wan De Niro.
Obi-Wan De Niro. I've seen a Border Collie training in PSA. I don't know if they titled that dog or not. I've seen a Boxer. There's a Can Corso with a PSA 3. So that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Is that Oscar Mora's dog?
No, it's Ty Nero. As the Corso. Yeah. But besides that, I mean, there might be a Doberman or two out there. I don't even know if there's a Roddy with a PSA 1, honestly. Someone might have to correct me on that. But it's mostly, the sport's dominated by Malinois, Dutch Shepherds. So even like there's not really a lot of German Shepherds out there that are competing at a high level. I think there's one PSA 3 German Shepherd, I believe. So anything besides a Malin or Dutchie, if you're doing well, you're doing something right.
Mm-hmm. Would you ever consider going into another sport, like a ring sport?
Yeah, I'm pretty open-minded, but I mean, for right now, I'm focused on PSA. But yeah, I mean, I respect ring sport is awesome. I watch videos of ring sport all the time. So I would definitely consider it, but as far as where I'm located and things like that, it's heavy PSA around here. That's how I got involved in this sport. If I had been somewhere else and ring sport was a sport, I probably would have gotten to that, you know.
Mm-hmm. For with Wolfpack Canine, if you're training dogs every day, are the dogs that you train pet dogs?
Yep, or pet, are dogs. They mostly pet dogs, 99.9%.
Okay.
I got this. I have a little Dutchie puppy that's sticking with me for a little bit. I'm doing like PSA foundation on just competition style obedience and like puppy bite work.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for the most part, it's a lot of like just working with families and their dogs.
Nice. And how do you delegate your time between like putting in the work with the Kuma for protection sports and then and then doing your job?
So I was out last night training at my buddy Josh and Alyssa's, and I was there till 2 a.m. training. So we trained from. I got there like 7 p.m. till 2 a.m. Got up, did my thing today. So if you want it bad enough, you're going to make the time for it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Okay. Apology. Is that little Dutch puppy your new prospect?
No, that's not. No, that's a client dog. I think it was bred by Hans Peg. Hans Peggy, excuse me. He's a nice little dog. I like him a lot, but he's not mine. I wish he was. I kind of like him.
313 Gypsy, any tips, advice for first time sport handlers?
I'd find a club. It's a lot of the same stuff I'm saying. Like, you got to get around people that know what they're doing. If you're winging it, you're probably going to be like way behind by the time the dog's, old enough to start competing. So find a group of people that are motivated, open-minded, that know the sport, and you'll be good to go.
Awesome. Who has been your biggest influence slash mentor?
Josh Knowlton is my biggest influence, and he's still my mentor at this point in time, I'd say. So he's had a huge impact on me. Even back, because he's also a pit bull guy as well. He had a pit bull first and got a her. He put a PSA one on the he put a PSA one on like a shelter pit bull, which is pretty
Awesome.
impressive. So just being around him and watching him with his Dutchie, now I got my Mal, bouncing ideas off each other. That's my biggest inspiration as far as like, competition training goes.
And do you, how often do you talk to him, or do you?
I'm sorry, say again.
How often do you talk to him, or do you? Like, what would he say to you now, like from
Oh,
like
I'm with him all the
CEO?
time.
Okay.
I'm with him all the time. I'm bringing him out to train with John Jones this weekend.
Ah, very nice.
Yeah,
Very
I was with him
good.
last night training.
Awesome.
So.
Okay, how many markers do you have for Akuma? Is it something you are working on?
How many markers do I have? I have, as far as like positive reinforcement markers, I use Clicker for a food reward. I use Yes for a total reward. And all his foundation was built on mostly food, but I slowly brought the toy in. But those two markers were the originators of that focus heel and everything like that.
What's the hardest part of what you do?
Just find the time. Just find the time to get everything in, and just you can find the time to relax sometimes. It's just like go, go, go.
Right. Yeah, it's exhausting. When you are with your mentor and with other people, how critical is it for you to get feedback on how you're doing with Akuma?
Yeah, I always, after my sessions, I always go like, oh, I'll either like start talking shit about my dog, or I'm like, all right, I always have the joke, all right, he's going on Craigslist if he has a bad night or whatever. So, but yeah, I'm like, I'll be doing like a session or whatever, and then after I'll go, what do I need to work on? Like, what do I suck at right now? So I definitely look for that feedback every time out, pretty much. But even, I mean, he'll do the same thing with me. Like, we try and give each other ideas. Or like, hey, you should try this out. Kind of, this is she's kind of, or he's kind of having an issue with this. Try this. So having that two-way door is good,
Okay, let's see. Oh. Question, can you do the dance challenge?
No, not doing that again.
That was good. Nice
My
job.
sister made fun of me. Everyone's calling me stiff.
Honestly, when I put up the poll, I started getting nervous because a lot of people were voting for you.
I was beating you for a little while there.
Yeah, and I was like, if he freaking wins, like that's just embarrassing.
It would have been embarrassing. Yeah, that wasn't a good look.
Luckily, I'm in the lead. I have to check
My
in
whole
next
staff watched me do it and filmed it. It was awful.
time. Was it awful? It wasn't so awful. Okay, do you prefer male over female dogs? If so, why?
Yeah, I like male dogs better.
Why?
I don't want to deal with the heat and all that stuff, and they get a little funky sometimes, fear periods, all that kind of stuff. I had a female shepherd a couple years back. I had her for like a year, and then she got rehomed. She's in a good home now. I still see her. But I watched that dog go through like these ups and downs with her personality, and I was just like, all right, I've had enough of this. So male dog for me.
Noted. Did you grow up with dogs?
Yeah, I grew up with pit bulls. Been around pits forever. I have a black and white photo of my great grandfather with a pit bull. So
legacy.
Kind of in my family's kind of, you know, DNA. My dad's got one. My mom's got one. My sister's got a bully. So
nice.
I'll get another one soon. I switched to the dark side for a little bit. All the pit bull people out there are mad at me.
Well, it will come. Let's see. Okay, when you're making the videos, what is your goal? Like, are you trying to inspire people? Because you definitely do inspire people. Do you know that?
I'm just having fun, honestly.
Yeah.
But okay. Yeah, I mean, the video, yeah, sometimes it's like I'm motivating myself and so, like the music I choose and things like that. I'm almost talking to myself, trying to pump myself up, you know? Because it's a marathon trying to get, you know, get to the top. These kind of sports are very, very difficult. So, yeah, it's a little bit of self-motivation, kind of talking to myself a little bit. But yeah, I feel like I try and make them entertaining as I can. And just like showing the glimpses of the sport I'm training in.
I feel like a lot of people in the dog world, I mean, for me, Rika is a huge source of just happiness, and she brings me so much joy. I love training with her.
Right.
And has like helped me, like especially through COVID and like mental health and all of that. How has Akuma been a source of like therapy for you?
Yeah, without a doubt. I feel the same way. And after I lost my other dog, I was really conflicted about getting a dog for a while because I wasn't sure I could get that same bond going. That same bond going to have my dog Ty. So I almost didn't get him. I had a friend of mine basically convinced me, like, hey, you need to jump on this litter. These dogs are going to be great. And I was kind of like, you know, I wasn't really into it at first. But, you know, it's been the biggest blessing for me because he's helped me out of a dark time. So.
Good. How long did you wait before getting Akuma?
It was pretty quick. It was only a few months, actually. The breeding that was happening, the Sybil Ryu, I was already kind of considering getting one of those dogs. And then the whole thing happened with Ty, and I was like, oh, I don't know if I even want a dog right now. So, but I end up going through with it. I got this pain in my ass right here. Come on, you're freezing up for a sec. You're frozen on me. Hold on a sec. There we go. That's better. Sorry.
All good.
But yeah, so I wasn't planning on getting them, and it all makes sense at this point in time that it just came at the right time, you know?
Do you feel comfortable sharing a little bit about Ty? And I obviously know, having followed you and talked to you, for other people that might not know you, do you feel comfortable sharing? It's on you.
What do you mean, like the situation and everything?
Yeah.
So I had planned a trip to go away for the weekend, and a friend of mine was going to babysit Ty for the weekend, and they had an electrical fire at the house when nobody was home. So him and two other dogs were lost in the fire. So it was a sudden situation. So it was pretty tough.
I'm so sorry that happened. And thank you for sharing that, because I really do think that, I mean, like hard times, like build character. And Ty has obviously inspired you in so many different parts of your life.
Definitely. Yeah. It's hard. Honestly, it's hard to talk about. It really is. Cause I'm not going to get the words out if we keep going, you know?
Yes, definitely. And that's why I'm not pressing you. I really commend you for having that resilience and using that, the shitty times, like awful situations, to really motivate you. So.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. You kind of took a swerve there. You good?
All right.
Woosa.
I'm gonna drink the rest of this real quick. No, it was a really hard time in my life. So, but I'm lucky I got Akuma. He helped me climb out of that hole I was in, honestly. So, gotta keep moving forward. That's all I can do.
Absolutely. Okay, Bastion Bane just asked a question. How do guests at your home interact with Akuma?
He's pretty, honestly, he's very, very well behaved, you know, when people come over. He doesn't jump up on people and things like that. So I kind of let him roam. He's fine to come out and greet people. He has a say hi command. So if I want, I can put him in a heel or something like that. And then say, you know, say hi. And he goes over and just kind of looks for a little belly rub or a back scratch. So he's very well behaved, that stuff. He doesn't even bark when people come in the house. He doesn't even care. Mm-hmm. He's not much of a protection dog. Mm-hmm.
You also, do you have a hug command? Because I see in the videos he kind of jumps up onto you.
Oh, yeah, the hug situation. So that was just, he's kind of allowed to jump on me, which, you know, shouldn't be a thing with a dog trainer. But the thing is, I nurtured a lot of, like, him hugging me and wrapping me up when we do play with toys. So I let him kind of get away with it. But if he does jump up, he's very polite. He'll go up and just kind of wrap his arms around your waist and just kind of hang out there. Mm-hmm. So he's a polite jump rubber.
I like that. I don't know if I'll teach Raika how to do that, but.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's like, if he was launching up at people, I would have stopped it, but mm-hmm. he's a polite jumper. He just goes up for the hug.
Very nice. What is your favorite? Do you have a favorite trick that you do with Akuma?
He doesn't do much like pet tricks. I'm gonna teach him how to play dead when I have a minute. I think this is just funny, but the orbit is a lot of fun. I have fun with that. Mm-hmm. He's pretty good at it, so that helps.
Yeah, he is. When you teach the play dead, we might have to do a play dead challenge. Yes. So that's the next goal, play dead. Yeah, so get that going. We got a lot of, people have a lot of love for you. I don't know if you're looking at the comments, but
my phone's like frozen. I can't see any.
All right, I'll just.
All right. No.
K9 Gunner Tactical, my favorite trainer, Jared, hands down one of the best in the game. Love you, bud. Inspiration, J Wolf, a real inspiration.
That's my boy.
Okay, so I'm gonna go through maybe five of these.
Okay.
Do you need a position box when you're training the orbit?
No, you don't. Okay. I the best way to do it is like I told you with the two hand lure. That's the easiest way. It helps if your dog knows how to walk backwards already. So if your dog knows how to walk backwards, it's going to be learned a lot quicker.
Okay. Going off of that, someone said, my dog doesn't know that they have a butt. How do I teach the dog to walk backwards or move her butt?
Backwards or moving in a circle?
I'm not sure, but I think probably just like healing or, yeah, the dog's just.
So rear end awareness, bull work can help with that. Put the dog's two front paws in the bull and teach him how to maneuver around.
And Ryan Donald, how do you teach to walk backwards?
You can, same thing. You can use a lure, push the dog back. When he starts walking backwards, click reward. But do a few steps at a time. Don't get greedy and think the dog's just going to walk 20 feet backwards. You got to start slow. All these new behaviors, you just got to do them very slow. Get a little bit and build off of it.
Okay, your views and experience between Herm Springer Tech Prong and normal Herm Springer Prong.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? You're breaking up just a little bit.
Oh, well, what are your views or experience with Herm Springer Tech Prong and normal Herm Springer Prong?
I'm not sure which one the Tech Prong is, honestly.
Maybe, I think he's talking about an e-collar. Or actually, I have no idea. Well.
Yeah, the Tech Prong, is that like, is a variation of the Herm Springer? I use the basic, just everyday Herm Springer, and that's the one I like.
Okay. Akiki the Mali, how did you train Akuma's incredible drive?
Genetics. That's not, of course I'm nurturing that stuff, but genetics, you got to get the right dog that's going to be able to do these things. If he didn't have those genetics, he wouldn't be working the way he works. He's very motivated on his own. So I got to hone into that and channel those drives the way I need them. But got to get the right dog that has the right genetics.
It's interesting to hear you say that, because having had a pity do PSA, you know, because a pity wouldn't be bred to do PSA.
Yeah, he's a unicorn.
Yeah. Right.
He was a unicorn dog. That was like just, you know, lightning struck, and he just had what it took. You know, that's all. He had the drive. Mm-hmm. He had the courage. He had the nerves. All that stuff. But he had a green handler, so that was the issue there. If I knew what I'd, you know, if I had him now, it would have been a different road. But
How does the handler? How can the handler make a dog better? Like, what role does the handler play?
What role does the handler play? You're his teacher. You're his teacher. You gotta show him all these different pictures that he's gonna see eventually in a trial, and you gotta show him appropriately. So if you give him too much of it, or you're showing him the same picture over and over again, he's getting ahead of you. There's a lot of variables going on there. So you got to teach him and guide him through all these situations and motivate him, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think Don't Be a Rouge is talking about the neck tech prong, but we skipped your question, so I'm going to go to the next. How do you start the foundation work for healing?
Foundation work for heal, I just start off static heal, put the dog right next to you and just reward that a lot and go from there. So I think the movement stuff I would do with Akuma when he's younger, moving him through my legs and all around me and stuff, it was more about him just moving around me. It didn't have anything to do with the way he was healing with me or anything. So you got to establish that position first before you can start moving.
Okay. Any tips to speed up response time for commands causing the doggo?
For speed.
Yeah.
So you can use a combination of positive reinforcement and negative reinforcement together, like e-collar, and then food reward at the end, or a toy reward at the end. So you're putting pressure on the dog to get there. When he gets there, he's getting rewarded. So that's going to cause everything to speed up for you.
Okay, thank you for that. Out of 10 sessions, how many bad ones do you have? Don't Be a Rouge.
We had, like last week, we had a really bad night. I think he was just too pent up. He had a lot of energy. And he was getting leaky in obedience, which he never does. I'm not to say he's like always doing good, but most of the time I'm pretty happy. You know, I'm not like upset about anything. If mistakes are made, it's because I'm showing him something the wrong way. And I got to go back and go, all right, you know what? This isn't his fault. I'm expecting too much too early. I got to reel it back and show him a little piece of that picture. So it's most of the time it's my game plan or my preparation that's kind of fucking him up. Excuse me.
Becca Turin, how and when do you know a dog fully understands a command?
If you're giving the dog the verbal command and they're doing it without a lure or without pressure, you know the commands. So once the verbal is crystal clear, you know, the dog knows what's up. Mm-hmm.
So we're having a problem where I feel like I've taught Rike a bunch of different things, and it's not really like kind of like teaching her a bunch of things with no goal in mind, because we aren't doing a sport right now. Like, okay, with the orbit, for example, now she's just orbiting all the time. Now I'm just doing heel with her and place and come back to the heel. And like maybe like 5 months ago, she was really good at like mite in the middle, heel on the side. What should I do with her? Like, should I stop teaching her so many things and like just go back at it like one at a time and make sure she has everything down pat and then add to it?
Yeah, I mean, you got to really establish what the goal is. But like her doing the orbiting, she's offering that behavior. Like, it's like a dog giving you paw. She knows mm-hmm. she was getting paid after she's doing that behavior. So she's trying to go, hey, if I do this, what do I get out of this? You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. you got to figure out what the goal is. I mean, whenever, even my dog's done that. He's tried to, you know, orbit on me before I told him to. So normally when he does that, I won't do it for like a couple of weeks. I'll put it in the back burner. I'll start doing tons of healing. Like when I'm getting close to a trial, I don't do like all this backing up healing and orbit and all that kind of stuff. I cut all that crap out and just focus on like technical healing, you know, turns, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So you just got to come up with a little game plan as far as where the end goal is.
Okay. Thank you. Advice to build engagement with the handler.
As far as young dogs, I'd say biggest thing people make as a mistake, they let the dog run around free off a leash. And then they're getting interested in the leaf blowing by. And, you know, obviously with stuff like Malinois, you know, they got a really good nose. So if I let a Kuma just do whatever he wants, he's probably going to be sniffing the dirt over there. Mm-hmm. So keep the dog on the leash. Keep the sessions really short. You know, get the most out of the session, put the dog away, and build off of that slowly.
Okay. What's the longest a Kuma has stayed in the focus heel, non-competition, but just for fun?
I could heel him for 100 yards if I want. I mean, I don't know. I haven't tried it. But he'll stay in that position for as long as I want.
Nice job. Do you put any product in your beard?
No. Nope, not anymore. I used to when I first was growing it out. I used to use beard oil and all that stuff. But it's kind of gimmicky. I just condition it a couple times a week.
Very nice. How many commands to focus on at once?
When you're building the puppy up?
Yeah.
I'm assuming they're showing. I mean, I would break it up, you know, if you're doing like positions, do positions. If you're doing healing, do healing. Then once the dogs understand these different things, you can put them all together. So I keep it in certain boxes when they're younger.
Okay. What do you think about dogs being used to sniff out COVID positive guests at Miami Heat games? Is that a thing?
I don't know anything about that, but probably some snake oil salesman sold those dogs to them.
Oh my god.
That's crazy.
That is wild. Okay. Let's see. How do you avoid a collar smart dog while using the collar? Is it worth using the finger click?
Yeah, I got the finger tab, so I like it. The finger trainer, I like it. I don't want the dog to see the remote, thinking like that's why, you know, I have a little more control over him. But as far as trial goes, you got to be sneaky about when you're taking the collar off and things like that. And I think if you trial too often and with a younger dog, he figures out you can't really control him too well, he'll start to figure out once he collars off, he can do whatever he wants. So you just gotta game plan that ahead of time. Like my dog, I tried to pop it off when we were playing. I was playing ball with him. I popped it off when he wasn't looking. Mm-hmm. So that's a tough one. That's tough because even dogs at the higher levels figure that stuff out.
Mm-hmm. What? Okay, a lot of the rest of the questions are really technical ones, like how to teach the dog to go in between your legs and, you know, all of that stuff. So I'm not going to ask those questions. This is a personal question. What's the best part about your job? I don't know if I asked you that.
The best part of my job? I love dogs, obviously. So working with the dogs, getting to work with all these different unique breeds is a lot of fun. Like whenever there's a unique breed that walks in the building, I like to take a picture with it and go, look at this guy. Like the Tibetan Mastiff that came through the other day. But the best part is helping the families out and helping them understand how to control their dog. Because a lot of them come in, they're just like lost. Like, this dog's driving me crazy. I'm not sure I can keep it. You know, it's too much for me. And then once they kind of have that, like, aha moment, once the dog's walking nice in the leash, they're going, oh, he's doing great. Like, I have so many clients that I can see they're just, like, fed up with the puppy. And then the dog's finally 8 months old, got some training. It's a good feeling.
Awesome. And what's the hardest part about your job?
That's a good part, but dealing with some clients that are very hard to please and deal with, that can be pretty troublesome. So, but we work through it, but that's probably the toughest part when you have a client that's like impossible to please. Mm-hmm. The dogs are never the problem. It's always, you know, the humans involved in the situation.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Okay, so we're just getting to an hour now, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me and answer all these questions.
No problem.
Is there anything that you want to share,
Put me on the spot. No, just watch out for me and Akuma in 2021, and that's about it. You know, check out my Instagram. Check out Wolfpack, and I'll see you guys all soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jared, and we look forward to seeing you guys and all your adventures.
Thank you.
And playing dead.
I'll work on it.
All right. I'll post this. See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.